Thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell and Collins Attorneys at Law. Call in now with your tax questions at 800-818-2255 or locally at 247-7282 or 353-4674.
And Andrew Foster is with us from Harvell and Collins. Good morning, Andrew. How are
you? Good morning, Ben. Doing well.
What are we talking about today?
Well, Ben, there's been a lot of headlines this week.
Yes, about tax fraud.
Guilty verdicts, guilty pleas, and the underlying issue is what?
Yeah,
taxes.
Fraud.
Taxes, that's right.
Yeah. You know, I was looking because, you know, that case has just captured the attention of so many. In 2012, there were 2,439 convictions for tax fraud. So it's not an unusual occurrence.
Not an unusual occurrence. That's
just convictions.
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, I think it's interesting when you really look at, and today I kind of wanted to go in a little bit of detail with regards to the Paul Manafort trial.
Mm-hmm.
Just a, you know, cautionary tale there. And I'll preface it by saying I don't believe that our listeners are involved with the Ukrainian government, maybe hiding money offshore. But I do also think I do also think that there's some lessons to be learned, and mm-hmm. I do want to delineate the differences between, you know, criminal prosecutions for tax fraud mm-hmm. and also just the civil side and what, you know, where the line is there, Ben. And so we start off by saying that, you know, 6 of the 8 guilty charges for Paul Manafort
right.
were tax related.
Right.
The first 5 were for lying on his tax return. And, you know, we've said this on this program many a times, Ben. You sign your tax return under the penalties of perjury.
Mm-hmm.
At the very bottom where your signature is, and now I don't know who actually sign their returns with a pen,
yeah.
you know, but when you put that pen number in and you hit that e-file button, you know, under the penalty of perjury, I declare I've examined this return and accompanying schedules and statements, and to the best of my knowledge and belief, they are true, correct, and accurately list all amounts and sources of income I received during the tax year.
And that's what, in this particular case, in the Manafort case, as commentators have said, that's what made it very, really pretty cut and dry, because that there was these amounts, and it was, you know, he did sign these forms.
Yeah, follow the money.
Yeah.
You know, they followed the money, and they figured out that he did have this. Now, it's interesting what he tried to do, Ben, and the argument on his side was, is, you know, that this money went to these entities, and then there were loans back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the problem with that is that it all just breaks down when you realize that we look at the nature of the transaction,
mm-hmm.
And realize that, you know, it's just a sham. It's mm-hmm. it's just not really real. There are no real loans. It was just a way to avoid paying taxes on the funds that he received. And I think it's important here to, you know, say willfulness. Mm-hmm. You know, Paul Manafort found himself in a position where, because of the scheme
mm-hmm.
that he had, the willfulness overtook the matter, and therefore it led to criminal charges.
Right.
You know, compare and contrast this to forgetting to put a 1099 on your tax return.
Right.
What happens when that happens, Ben? Well, we've talked about it. You know, you get a CP2000 letter, which is a computer-generated audit, because as we know,
mm-hmm.
you get a 1099, IRS gets a 1099. You forget to include it on your return.
Guess
they
what?
Send you a notice saying, yeah. we believe that you owe X dollars in additional tax.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe that you owe it, you sign the form, you send the money in, or you get on a payment plan, you're good to go.
And all is good.
If you don't believe that you, yeah. if you don't believe that you owe the tax,
mm-hmm.
you go through the process and you explain why maybe the 1099 was put under your social security number and it really belonged under someone else's.
Mm-hmm.
You have no idea who that 1099, you know, company is. I didn't do any work for them, didn't receive any funds from them. And you go through the process to work that out to make sure that doesn't get put on your return. But that's a very different process than criminal
mm-hmm.
prosecution. It's a civil matter. You get notice. You work through it, and it's basically a what we call a computer generated audit, and you just go through it to make sure that your tax dollars that's on your return are fair and accurate.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the important thing I think to know is the willfulness level. So when you're filling out those returns, you know, again, you're doing the best you can to make sure that your income is accurate, mm-hmm. that your deductions are accurate. And as long as you're following those particular guidelines, you know, you're not going to find yourself in a U.S. courtroom,
right.
Defending yourself for signing a tax return that maybe you forgot to include, a 1099 or a W-2 or anything, mm-hmm. or something like that.
Okay. So, again, that is, again, your John Hancock or your PIN number, is the triggering point, right? For
That's
saying
right.
that this is, I declare that these things are, to best my knowledge, true.
True and accurate. That's mm-hmm. right. And that's what they'll use if it turns out that, you know, maybe you didn't just forget that. Maybe you are mm-hmm. trying to hide money or, you know, send money offshore or do various things, to avoid paying taxes. That's how they'll get you. And that's, you know, five of the eight guilty charges for Paul Manafort were just this very thing. Just this very thing. He signed a tax return that was, you know, inaccurate, and they found that, you know, he perjured himself by signing that statement. Mm-hmm. The next big thing that one of the guilty charges that Paul Manafort got was for failure to report foreign bank accounts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've talked about this before, Ben, and we've been through the requirements, multiple shows on mm-hmm. foreign bank accounts. And it's not illegal to have money overseas.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. But it is illegal if you have money overseas and you fail to report the money to the IRS. And this is something that's fairly new. In the last, several years, there's been an emphasis. Mm-hmm. We mentioned the voluntary offshore disclosure program, where if you had omitted telling the government, either through negligence, basically, oh gosh, I didn't even know this existed. I didn't know I had to tell them that I had a balance.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, that's kind of the crazy thing that the concept here, which is, it's not the fact that you owe tax on that money. Mm-hmm. Overseas, yes, you have to pay tax on that money if it generated certain income, but it's the fact that you have to report that account actually even exists.
Mm-hmm.
And so on your tax return on Schedule B Part 3, it asks you, it says, you know, at any time during the tax year, do you have a financial interest in or signature authority over a financial account located in a foreign country?
Mm-hmm.
Paul Manafort checked the box and said no. And, you know, that turns out was not true.
Mm-hmm.
And again, one count, guilty.
Right.
You know, for failing to do that.
Now, if that were, does the word signature authority make a difference there? Because if he had said, if he had had a corporation,
mm-hmm.
if the account was in the name of a corporation, but he had signature authority,
yeah,
that would be.
And just bear in mind, same thing there is that you, depending on what level the corporation you're at, mm-hmm. is your responsibility for then reporting that particular mm-hmm. Account. So, you know, his argument, I believe, in this one is that his Gates co-defendant, that he had the signature authority, not Manafort.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of how he tried to escape the culpability there. But it turns out, you know, that it's difficult, Ben. I mean, if you've got these foreign accounts, you really need to be upfront and honest. Mm-hmm. And I think we even had testimony during the Manafort trial with regards to his tax preparer saying that, look, I put, you know, these things in front of Paul Manafort. Mm-hmm. And when it came to foreign financial accounts, his constant answer was no, I do not have these. And again,
mm-hmm.
that just wasn't the case. And that wasn't true. I mean, it's got to be something you got to be open and honest with, Ben. And you got to say, look, I do have this foreign account out there. You know, let's talk about whether or not I have the responsibility to report this.
Right.
Let's look at the regulations and see.
Would he even owe anything on it?
Yeah, exactly. And it may not be that you even owe anything on it. It depends. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked before about the fact that, you know, you are taxed as a U.S. citizen on worldwide income. So if those accounts do generate, you know, and this is the whole purpose for having to report the accounts is that typically, you know, there's not that 1099 dividend or 1099 interest that comes in. So, you know, you really need to make sure that you're following those rules and regulations, because the penalties are quite harsh.
Okay.
Well, so you're talking about foreign bank accounts. Do you mean like in the movies when they say, oh, Swiss bank, or in the Caribbean, or Like, is that what you're referring to when you speak of a foreign account?
That's exactly what I'm speaking of. There, you know, for instance, he had money in Cyprus and the Grenadines. That was where Paul Manafort's accounts were. You know, so certainly in part of this you mentioned is exactly right. It was the Swiss banking secrecy laws. And there was a lot of push for Swiss banks to now report accounts to the U.S., and they are doing that. So, you know, so
much for the secrecy.
Exactly. Yeah. So the thing about it is that this information's coming out anyways.
Most people do that to hide it from other people, not necessarily from the government.
So the mattress, everybody's going to have to go back to storing
the mattress.
And Ben, you remember that when we talked about this, I mean, the penalty for willful failure to report foreign bank accounts could get as much as 50% of the account. The balance of the account. We're not talking about the amount of tax
and
that's
he was
owed.
Talking about tens of millions of dollars.
So we're talking about 50% of the balance that's in the account just for simply not reporting that you have the money. So, you know, this is very, very important. This is something that if any of our listeners are out there, you know, it's kind of scratching their head and thinking, man, foreign bank accounts. And, oh, yeah, well, I maybe inherited some money from a relative that's overseas and now my name might be on an account or, you know, something kind of quirky like that. You know, it's important to look at those facts and circumstances and see, you know, if we need to make sure that we're reporting this FinCEN Form 114 is what you have to ultimately file. And literally what you're doing is you're reporting the balance of the bank account during the year and saying, yes, in fact, I do have this account and the balance was this. And it's simple. It's a one page form. It is not anything that's crazy, but it is so important to make sure you do that because this voluntary offshore disclosure program is coming to an end. And they were giving you breaks on these penalties, but now it's going to be extremely difficult to work it out with the IRS because they're going to say, we gave you this, you know, this grace period, this time period to come forward. We're ending that now. So anybody who comes forward after that, it's going to be a lot more difficult to try to work out some arrangement.
If you are in gold, for example, but the gold is held in an account somewhere offshore, but you bought it from an American broker.
Yeah, it depends. There's tricky rules on that, Ben. So that would be something we'd want to analyze in depth.
There you go. And then when you want to have that analyzed in depth, you want to call on the folks at Harvell & Collins, Attorneys at Law for Life and Taxes. And you can get in touch with Andrew Foster at afoster@harvellandcollins.com.